Boker Tov, good morning. Today's class should be for the Refuah Shlomah of all the Chonim and Bichlalam. Chemda Barachah Bat Chatum Chan, and the Medech Hanukkah Ben Rufka, Sarah Bat Amir, Shalomah Masarah, and the Esna Rabba, Shalomah Masarah, David Ben Rachel, Yafah Bat Devorah, Rufka Bat Echovi, Rufka Bat Esar, Shalomah Masarah, Farah Medam, Shalomah Masarah, Yafah Bat Miriam, Yavid Abin Yafah, Chaya, Sarah Bat Chonim, Rufla Mechana, Simicham Ben Malka, Miriam Bat Echel, Vez, Miriam Chanan, Yalam Ben Omer, Yachas, Sarah Bat Amar, Sarah Chana, Gavid Gede Ben Rachah, Tan Meisar, Zichom Lene, Yaakov, Ben Dabar Mekah, Yashav, Ben Letar, Ben Yafah, Yashav, Ben Rashav, Ben Rashav, Ben Rashav, Yosef ben Yafan, Daniel ben Dina, Ulavdir ben Mishan, David ben Eliyahu, Binyamin ben Yisrael, Gdiyah, Dina bet Ephraim, Shimon ben Yishael, Binyan, Malka bet Dan. Okay. We spoke last week about the aspects of Lashon Hara between family members, husband and wife, father and child. And we said even if a parent or a spouse hears Lashon Hara about the other spouse, they should not go and repeat that Lashon Hara or that Rechilut that they heard, regardless how close they are in relation. Now the Chafetz Chaim on that point, he says it's necessary to discuss a conversation between a husband and wife. If let's say someone comes to a woman or someone comes to a man and tells them something derogatory, something negative about their spouse. So now, what are you supposed to do? So of course you're not allowed to believe it. You can't believe it wholeheartedly. And you can't repeat it to the spouse, because if you repeat it to the spouse, it can cause much strife and anger. And not only that, the Chafetz Chaim says there's been many situations where you'll have someone who comes to the wife and say something negative about the husband. And the wife, like any normal wife, wants to go and repeat it back to her husband. So she goes and repeats this over to her husband. Her husband says, who said this? She tells her who said this. Now he goes and starts getting into a huge fight. And sometimes it's a brother-in-law. Sometimes it's her sibling. Sometimes it's her sister. Sometimes it's a mother-in-law. Sometimes all relationships of family members can get ruined just based on repeating one little rumor, one little thing that wasn't necessarily true. So a person has to be extremely careful to make sure that he doesn't do that, because he can take it to a new level. Now, how can a husband, or a wife for that matter, respond to their spouse in a way, let's say they hear something like this, and they want to teach their spouse without directly teaching them that this is not a correct thing to do? Okay, we're continuing. So he says that how does a spouse respond to their spouse in a way that if your spouse comes, or your relative or your sibling comes and tells you something that someone said about you negatively, how do you respond in a way to teach them indirectly that you don't want to hear that anymore? This is the key question. And the Chafetz Chaim brings a beautiful answer. He says, depending on how you react to their Lashon Hara or their Rechilut, that's going to be the difference in how they're going to continue in the future. So if you react with a feeling of like pleasantness, and you're happy that they told you, and you're like, thank you for telling me, then what happens is that the next time they're going to want to tell you again. They're going to feel like they should tell you again. But if you give them a feeling of, you don't want to hear that, you don't want to hear when someone comes and tells something about you, and you make them feel like, not necessarily guilty, but at the same time, you make them feel like what they said is not like, I don't want to hear that, without directly saying you don't want to hear it, the next time, the spouse will be inclined to remember that previous time's feeling she had, or he had, and think twice before repeating it over to the spouse. So they won't necessarily repeat it to you right away, or a sibling. If let's say a sibling tells you something that they heard about you, a derogatory thing, and you tell them like, ugh, like what? Why are you telling me that? And you make it seem like you don't want to hear that. Like, what's the problem? I don't want to hear things negative about, I don't want to hear when someone says something negative about me. Don't tell me who said it. And you make them feel like you don't want to hear Lashon Hara, then the next time that comes around and something like that happens, they won't repeat it to you. Or they'll have that tingling remembrance in the back of their head. Now, where do we see this? This idea is, for example, when someone comes and tells you on a hot summer day, oh, wow, this ice cream, so delicious, with what the toppings you like. Chocolate sprinkles, all the M&Ms, right? What else? You know, all these types of ingredients and toppings. And like, what makes it delicious? What makes it sound in your mind as something delicious? That type of ice cream, right? What makes that sound delicious? It's because there was one time when you were younger that you had that ice cream that had chocolate sprinkles and M&Ms that made a good impression on you. It tasted really good. And from now on, that was your main key focus of, oh, this is a nice breakfast. This is a nice ice cream. This is a delicious ice cream. So anytime you think of ice cream and amazing, that's what comes to mind. The same thing happens in a negative way as well. If let's say someone comes to you to share derogatory information about you, about someone else, and you make them feel like you're not happy with them coming over to tell you that. You make them feel like, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear when someone says something negative about someone. Then what happens is the next time they come to do it, what's their remembrance? What do they remember? They don't remember the ice cream. They remember what? The last time I told him, Lashon Hara, he didn't like it. So why would I want to repeat myself? He doesn't want to hear this stuff. And it'll remind them not to. And this is how you indirectly teach people not to speak Lashon Hara or not to speak Rashi Lu. Is by them feeling innately, at least with you, that it's, you don't like it. They get the message from you that you're not someone who likes to hear Lashon Hara. So in one aspect, you're going to benefit that you won't hear them speaking Lashon Hara. Now you still won't save them though from learning not to speak Lashon Hara in general. Meaning, they won't speak Lashon Hara in front of you, but when you walk out of the room, they're going to go fire. So the question is, how do you train them? How do you teach them without directly telling someone, stop speaking Lashon Hara, that they're not supposed to speak Lashon Hara? And I think the answer is through patience, through explaining, not in the moment, after the moment, in times where you're not speaking Lashon Hara, speaking to a spouse, speaking to a younger sibling, to a nephew, to a child, explaining to them the detriment or the difficult times and problems that can come from someone speaking negatively. Not in the moment, not when right away they speak Lashon Hara and then you try to rebuke them, because that usually doesn't work. In an off time, where no one's speaking Lashon Hara, you bring up the subject of, you know, how bad Lashon Hara is. And you bring up a story of how severe Lashon Hara is and what Lashon Hara has brought to the world. And what Rechilur has brought to the world. And those stories, indirectly, they will start getting into their head and they'll start realizing that it's a bad thing. And over time, if they're a normal human state being, that they use their minds, they use their head on their shoulders, they'll eventually come to the realization that speaking bad about another Jew is not good. And they won't do it. And they'll realize, a lot of people, and I think most people do realize it's bad, but it's the aspect of, I don't care. I want to just speak whatever I want to speak. Don't tell me what to do. But if they come to the realization of how bad it can possibly be, they'll realize that that feeling of let me just say whatever I want is not as important as putting somebody down. It's more important to be careful not to put someone down than it is just to say whatever you want. And that's something that I think we all know, but something to be able to teach the world is a two-step process. Number one, when they come to speak to you about negative things, you make them feel, again, unless it's for constructive purpose and things of the like, but you make them feel like you don't want to hear it. So they feel like they don't want to say Lashon Hara to you anymore. That's number one. Number two is on off times, you try to teach them, if there's someone you can teach them how bad Lashon Hara is and how bad Rechilut is. And over time, they will realize that this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible sin. Such a grave sin that the Chafetz Chaim says that the three cardinal sins are equivalent to Lashon Hara, are equivalent to, you know, to baseless hatred and speaking bad about one another. And it was the cause of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. You know, the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chena, basis hatred, Lashon Hara, people speaking bad about one another for no reason. That shows us the equivalence of Lashon Hara to all of the cardinal, three cardinal sins, Avodah Zara, having adultery, illegal relations, murder, committing, you know, terrible sins like that. Lashon Hara is equivalent to all of them, because Lashon Hara can cause much worse things than any of those. And B'zad Hashem, we strengthen ourselves, we work on ourselves to be more careful not to bring out a word from our mouth that's Lashon Hara, and try to educate the people around us that they shouldn't bring a word out of their mouths that's Lashon Hara as well. Have a great day, everyone.